This is the Growing the Game podcast with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. Each week we talk with rider guests and we talk with the up-and-coming stars of football in this province. This little mini edition, we're going to focus on the Rough Riders and the training camp edition as we get ready for a 2018 season. And we kick things off with a wily veteran. Yes, it's Mr. Rob Bagg.
12th training camp, undrafted guy. You pinch yourself every year out here?
It's pretty, I've been pretty fortunate, you know, just to get the opportunity so long ago now, but put in a lot of hard work and have been with a great organization that's given me lots of opportunities and chances to come back when I was, you know, down. So I feel like it's been a good mutual relationship and just pumped that I have another opportunity to try and make the club.
How has your training regimen changed over the years?
It's changed in the sense that I guess my trainer is now kind of trying to get us to do less, you know, not necessarily mean that your results aren't as good, but just, you know, when you're younger, you can kind of go and go and go, and doesn't mean that it's the smartest way to train, but you're just, so you can kind of just pound through it. And as you get older, you realize that you can get better results if you do things a little bit more intelligently rather than just trying to, you know, get in an extra 100 reps. So I always still trying to have that mentality where I, you know, enjoy working hard, but definitely my trainer, Dino Malonis, back at MPC in Kingston, he's done a great job of trying to get me ready.
Is the mental side of the game your advantage now that you're older?
Yeah, I think so. You know, there's advantages to everything. There's advantages to coming in as a rookie and just being totally ignorant to the, you know, to just the opportunity and what you've walked into. And there's advantages to have been around for a while. Just like there are disadvantages. I mean, camp's a great time. You know, when you've done it so many times, you know how much more is ahead of you, you know, so that can be a little bit daunting at times. But knowing how much gratification you get from finishing a camp with the guys is pretty easy motivation to keep going too.
I think I know the answer to this question. Don't punch me for answering it. But do you take it upon yourself to help a guy like Mitch Picton or a Bailey? Or do you look at them, you know, it's professional football. You're trying to earn a paycheck. You get a family to feed. You look at them as kind of a threat to your job.
A bit of both, I guess, just naturally. You know, anytime you're surrounded with such great players and they're in there trying to do the exact same thing that you do, it's just natural that, you know, you want to obviously separate yourselves from them, but they're just such great people. And to be honest, I was just so fortunate when I first came into league with guys like Corey Grant that it just wouldn't be right if I, you know, was a dink out there. So I just try and do everything I can to you know, help them mentally, physically. Those guys are quite gifted, so I think we've really become a well-liked unit amongst each other, and just fun to come to work.
Okay, so on that note, what would this Rob Bagg tell young Rob Bagg coming into the team? Like, what kind of advice would you give him now?
You know what? I don't know if I could have given him so much advice. I just learned so much along the way, I guess. I needed to experience those things, you know? So whether it be just to relax and don't try and stress the little things and just take one play at a time, you know, it's easily said and everything like that. But just the fact that I kind of experienced it and actually went through it and struggled and had setbacks and everything, I think just the actual experience is what's made me who I am rather than just hearing it from somebody else.
Okay, so you told me before we started this interview, your feet are on fire. So, I mean, you go through the grind of training camp, but are you soaking it up more? Like, it is your 12th. And you guys, when they get to your age, you look great. It looks like you put on two pounds of muscle every time I see you. But do you look at your football mortality and you're saying to yourself, you know, I'm going to soak this in?
Yeah, I mean, even today, it's funny you said that, because even today I was asking the guys, we always try and focus on one thing. You know, what are you going to focus on today? Usually it's, you know, eyes on the ball, get offs, releases, what have you. And for whatever reason, it's funny you brought that question, but mine today was just, you know, have fun and enjoy the moment. And usually you play better football when you're doing those things. So, of course, as you come to understand, you're not going to get to come back forever. You know, you definitely want to enjoy it. And even though it is super hard work, it's still a lot of fun.
I'll let you get in the showers in a second here, but two more quick questions. Okay, two more quick questions, buddy. Okay, let me ask you this. Zach Collaros, how's he looked out here?
All the quarterbacks have looked great. Zach's no different. He's, you know, picked up the playbook as if he was in it forever. So it's going to be a great competition and, you know, just great depth at that position. So whether it's Brandon, Zach, Q, Dave, you know, there's just a bunch of great guys in there. So it's going to be a fun, fun time.
And this feels kind of like 2013. You know, it feels like we got a lot of talent on this field. It was more of a veteran team back then, but this feels like a real talented squad.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, even our receiver group, we were just going over, you know, Nay's been playing pro football for 7 years, BG 8. You know, I'm up there, CO. We got some vets in the receiver unit as well. I mean, DC, he's been playing pro ball for 6 years now or something like that. So there's no excuses, and it's really fun to have the expectations so high.
Okay, go lift and enjoy yourself.
Sounds good. Thank you.
It's time now to shift our attention to the broadcast booth as we talk with color analyst on our 620 CKRM Rough Rider Radio Network. That would be Luke Mullinder, and get his perspective on the first week of camp. Luke likes what he sees, for sure. Oh, it feels good to be back talking to this guy, our color analyst across the Rough Rider Radio Network. It's Mullinder's matchup. Big Luke, how are you, bud?
I'm good, man. I hope you guys are excited as I am about this season starting to roll around here.
Oh, absolutely, man. A lot of high expectations around here. And have you got that sense around camp that there is high expectations for this team?
Yeah, I think so. And there's been a couple of examples of that expectation set. It's very early on in camp when Chris Jones flat out said these practices, the early ones, weren't good enough for what this team needs to accomplish this year. You know, talking to you now, though, there's been a few good practices in a row, so it seems like they're back on course because, again, this is a team that everybody in the CFL expects to compete for that Grey Cup championship this year.
So I don't know how much you can pick up from training camp, and I'm not saying that to cut you down. What I'm getting at here is coming into this season, we thought to ourselves, okay, how are they going to block for the quarterback, and how's the quarterback going to be? Are we any closer to answer? Like, what are you seeing of those two positions so far through training camp?
Well, listen, this O-line's coming along. I've spent a couple of the last days here watching Taron Vaughn, the left tackle with the A group right now. And I'll tell you what, Ballsy, he's got all the tools. He's an athletic kid. For a younger guy, he's patient, meaning he doesn't overextend himself. He doesn't sit there and wait for someone to attack him either. But he understands, like, hey, his skill set, and he's very comfortable in his own space, if that makes sense to people out there. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he does now that live competition's going. I mean, to be honest with you, there's not much more you can get at practice than guys like Willie Jefferson, Charleston Hughes, Toby Antigua, and some of these ends coming at him constantly. So I'm looking forward to seeing him succeed here potentially on Sunday.
Let me ask you maybe a strange question, but I was thinking about this the other day. Because the practices are not padded during the regular season, does this training camp take on any more importance, and in particular for the line play?
So much more importance, and I'm so glad you mentioned that. Because they've been in pads quite a bit, and I think one of the reasons why is because they're just not going to get to put pads back on this year. And for the offensive line in the A group, those guys are veterans, aside from Taron Vaughn, obviously. But behind those guys, Ballsy, there's not a lot of experience. So those guys need to get their reps and their fundamentals and technique down now. Because to be quite honest with you, and Mike McCullough and the boys on the show know this, hey, listen, when you get into practice in the regular season, there's going to be a lot of standing up and vets telling you guys to slow down the pace. So they need to go hard right now in pads. And they've got some good coaching. Steven Sorrell is doing a great job here in camp at stressing the fundamentals. But it's going to be so important moving forward. And I really think that, you know, moving forward with that rule particularly, they're going to change it. And why do I think they're going to change it? Because I think that, honestly, stalling the development of young Canadian linemen especially is eventually going to get a quarterback hurt. And you know, and I know, Ballsy, that once the quarterbacks get hurt, they're going to change the rules.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, Luke Mullinder joining us here for Mullinder's matchup. Just a couple more quick seconds with him. Okay, so one of the biggest, most popular reality shows of all time is Survivor. But in my opinion, Luke, these next 2 weeks is the best form of reality TV. It's the ultimate Survivor because even though you wear the same jersey for these next 2 weeks, you're technically not on the same team. It's more an internal matchup. You're trying to make the team. It's you against you, isn't it, Luke?
No, you're absolutely right. Camp is more of an individual assignment, if you will. Right? Guys have to understand, yes, this is a team game, and yes, this team needs to set up for success. But at the same time, you're being individually evaluated, and that can never get lost in all of the camaraderie and teamsmanship that's also fostered in training camp. So you're absolutely right. These guys are constantly in the evaluation process. It's always a job interview, and finally we got some live bullets. And I think that after this exhibition game, Ballsy, the period between the next exhibition game is going to be even more crucial because they're going to have – game on film and reps that you need to build on and find improvement in. So you're right. It's every man for himself, so to speak, but at the same time, being careful because you are going to be teammates eventually.
What have you said in the past? The eye in the sky doesn't lie, right?
No, absolutely. The eye in the sky never lies, and it's always watching. It's always on.
Luke Mulliner's always on, and he'll be on the radio today with Rod Peterson across the Rough Rider Radio Network. Thanks for this, Luke.
All right, no problem, man.
Growing the game with Ballsy, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. Time to debut a new segment here on the podcast with all-time receptions leader in Canadian Football League history, Nick Lewis, as he's a guest coach at Ryder Training Camp. It is Moving the Chains with Nick Lewis, the all-time great. So it's great to have an all-timer on here. And I wanted to say to you, hey, you miss football, but you only took one day off in between retirement and getting back on the field. How does it feel to be wearing green and white?
I don't know how it feels to wear green and white. No, it's good. You know, it's good. It's good to be a part of an organization right now. And right now I'm just guest coaching. So we'll see what we're going to do after training camp.
So is it something you've always wanted to do, be a coach, Nick?
Oh, of course. You know, when I was in eighth grade, I coached my sister's sixth grade basketball team. My dream was always to be a coach. And growing up, that was the number one thing. So I didn't think that football was actually going to be an avenue for me to go play professionally. And so I kind of got to play and had a good time with that.
Did you always approach the game like a coach, Nick?
Oh, of course. You know, preparation is everything. You have to be prepared, and you like prepare mentally, one, that allows yourself to know what you're doing at all times. You got to prepare physically so that your body can do everything it needs to do to make the plays and to go out and be competitive. So you add those together, because when you're playing, if you're thinking, you're too slow. You know, so you have to be able to go and let it flow and just let your body and muscle memory take over.
What do you remember about your first training camp when you came into the CFL as an undrafted guy?
Very, very hard. Some of the guys around here talk about having a hard camp, but, you know, we were on the field 3.5 hours, twice a day, full pads. You were hitting. There was no rules about how many days you could wear pads, how many days you could have two-a-days. And it was hot in Calgary and raining most of the time, and it was a grind. It was truly a grind for 3 weeks.
What was the biggest thing for you to adjust, you know, learning this game, the Canadian game, coming up as an American?
I think it was just the understanding of the 20-second play clock. I've got down the waggle pretty quick, but I think it was just the 20-second play clock. Coming from college, we ran the option in college, so seeing two defenses to seeing a lot of defenses, I think having John Jenkins as an offensive coordinator and having to draw all our plays up against almost every defense imaginable allowed me to really learn defenses and learn the game. So it worked well.
You talk about mentally being prepared. As you get older in your career, is it the mental side that lets you extend your career, so to speak?
Oh, of course. You know, the game, slows down. But physically, you know, Father Time is undefeated. You're never going to be able to do exactly what you did before. And your body, it takes longer to recover. Some of the games that last year, when we had 4 or 5 days between games, were very hard for me to try to recover and go back and play another game. I mean, mentally, I was ready. I was alert. I was wanting to do it. But physically, you know, you could feel by halftime the fatigue and everything else. So it was something that you really had to focus in on your recovery more than anything.
You know, when I watched you from afar covering the Rough Riders, of course, you with the Stampeders, then the Alouettes, what I liked about you early on in your career, well, throughout your career, but when you were at your peak, was you still, no matter the fact you were talented, you always brought your lunch bucket to work, so to speak. You put in an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. I see a lot of you and Naaman Roosevelt in that way. Do you see the same thing? He seems to be a very workmanlike receiver.
He is, and, you know, I've gotten a chance now to be around him for a few days and really get to talk to him and see how he's doing things. And he's a little bit thicker than I thought he was originally from seeing him just on game day and stuff. So he definitely catches the ball well, runs good routes, and does what he's supposed to do. So I have high hopes for him to continue to get better. But, you know, you owe it to yourself. You owe it to everybody else to come out and just be the best you can be. And whatever that means, then that's what you have to do.
You know, I saw a comment from Naaman in training camp early on here. He said, you know, Nick is very good in the film room. He's teaching me things that I didn't even know, and I've been playing pro ball for 8 years. So let me ask you, Nick Lewis, what do you feel you're bringing to the table right now for these guys, a pretty veteran group of receivers?
You know, it's all about a perspective, about knowledge, and just understanding. I'm learning a whole new offense. So this offense here is different than the way that we used to do things in Calgary. So there's different reads. There's different reasons to do certain things. So for me, it's about learning and then relaying that. But when it comes to running routes and it comes to getting out, in and out of breaks, what to look for, to play with your eyes, I believe receivers have to play with their eyes. You never focus on the guy guarding you because you have to believe that he's already beat because you're good enough to beat him. So you have to make sure nobody else is going to take it away. So if you have in-breaking routes, you can't turn your head inside. You have to be able to look out of the side of your eye and see two to three other players on the field. And that what opens up holes and opens up your game. It's not just about going out and running around. You have to be able to see three or four people at a time.
Nick Lewis joining us here, Moving the Chains, a great new feature we have here on the broadcast. A couple more quick questions for you, Nick. What are you seeing from this receiving core and the plethora of talent?
Hey, huge talent. You know, we got some young guys that are coming in that's pushing the vets. But anytime you can put a receiving core out with Bakari Grant, Chad Owens, Naaman Roosevelt, Deron Carter, Rob Bag, I mean, that's almost like an all-star list of receivers, you know, with a huge radius. Bakari's long, Deron's long, Chad's explosive, and Naaman is just like a workman, and Rob Bag is consistent. So it's a great receiving core to just be able to work with and to see their progress on a daily basis and try to help them raise the bar, right? It's all about winning the Grey Cup. It's all about raising the bar and reaching that level.
Okay, I'll ask you my last question about Deron in a second, but I wanted to ask you this. What about some of the young guys like Devin Bailey, Mitch Picton, who was a draft pick out of the Rams here locally? What do you see from these young guys?
Mitch is doing well. Mitch is running good routes. You know, we've been working on a couple things about getting in and out of his breaks and with his transitions. He learns really quick. The other day in one-on-ones, the second day, I made one comment to him. He went out and did it the next time. And I made another comment to him, and he goes out and does that the third time. And it was just like, that's crazy that he can just take some coaching like that and just instantly go and do it. That says something about him and about the ability to have a long career. Devin Bailey is another guy that I was fortunate to be in training camp with last year in Montreal for a little bit. And so we have a really good rapport and, you know, just teaching him how to use his body. Be bigger, be physical, and just go out and use your body. And he's doing that. And he's going to open a lot of eyes this year with the ability to go out and make plays.
Nick Lewis has always been a straight shooter. So to wrap this thing up, big man, let's shoot straight from the hip here. Is it realistic to think Deron Carter can go both ways in professional football over a long stretch of time? We've seen Deion Sanders do it from time to time, but only in spot duty with the Cowboys and Atlanta. Can we realistically think Deron Carter can go play a series as a receiver and then flip over and be a corner in professional football?
No, he can play both. But he would have to take plays off. You know, he would play some offensive sets, some defensive sets. It's way too physical, way too hard on the body to try to do 18 games going both ways. Now, is he talented enough to? Yes, but just the grind of a game and the mental fatigue and the physical fatigue through the course of a game. And he would try. So if he has the opportunity, he's going to try it.
No kidding. Hey, Nick Lewis, we're happy to have you on the broadcast, and we're looking forward to a full season of you on the radio, and who knows, maybe you'll be on the sidelines too. Only time will tell. Thanks for this, Nick.
Thank you.
This Rider training camp version of Growing the Game with Ballsy brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you know we talk riders every week, but we like to highlight amateur football players in the province. If you have a story or a team that you want me to follow and pick up on the idea and broadcast it right here on this podcast, please email me, mball@harvardbroadcasting.com, and listen to this podcast, share it with your friends, family, football contacts, and let's grow this great game of football together. Talk to you soon.